If you'll bow your heads, Father, without you, we accomplish very little that has any value. So I ask that you would move to open our hearts, open our ears, open our understanding, that we can see what your word is speaking here with our inner man, and then the grace to carry it out, in Jesus' name. He began to work on this word yesterday, and I just want to kind of give you a preface. Its heading is From Freedom, From Human Regulations, Through Life in the Anointing. Freedom, From Human Regulations, Through Life in the Anointing. You say, well, what do you mean, freedom from regulations? You need to remember that every generation is brought up with certain qualifications, recommendations, rules and regulations that we lived by, and as soon as we broke them, we ended up with what? What do you get when you break the rules?
Consequences,
yes. What else?
Punishment,
okay. What else?
Judgment
against yourself, yes.
Guilt.
Isolation.
Condemnation.
Disappointment, yes. Self-disappointment, yes. How about shame? Dissatisfaction. Expectations of judgment. Expectations of punishment. I remember hearing the words in multiples of occasions. Don't forget, Jesus is watching you all the time. God's eye is on you. Anybody relate to those?
Yes. Amen.
Okay? And boy, did you take it seriously, because in your book, his whole concept was to make sure that you obeyed every law, every rule, and every regulation. So what happens is you're living under a spirit of torment, accusation, shame, disgrace, and self-rejection.
Total fear.
And it brings torment, where even light becomes a relief in the midst of darkness. Please, can I have the light on? Don't put the shade all the way down. Can anybody relate?
Amen. Absolutely.
Okay? So that was my background. And I'm not picking on anybody now. I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just telling you that was my background. My mother, when I was 5, 6 years old. 4 or 5 years. I started singing very young. That's why I have a big mouth and a big voice. Blame Mom. It was 2 years on Thursday at 6:30 that she went home. So Thursday was a challenging day. And the emotions are still strong, but not as dominating as they were. But one of my favorite things was when my dad would say, please go down to the storage area next to the barn. He had a well where all the canisters for the cream was kept.
And my job was to go down to the barn,
open one of those canisters, and come home with a quart of real cream, and we would have that over strawberries or blueberries or whatever fresh fruit we had. Or if he was going to make ice cream, which was even more, I mean, yeah, I would be jumping 3-4 feet high, even though I was probably only 4 feet high. But the bottom line that I'm trying to tell you is there was excitement about going. But there was also tremendous fear because, let's face it, we lived where there was woods all around. There were bears, there were foxes, there were animals. And let's face it, I would leave my house and Mom would say, sing as loud as you can, because then while you're singing, you're going to scare them away. So I sang at the top of my lungs all the way down to the barn. It was like maybe from here to maybe the front desk. Okay, so it was a good sized walk. The barn wasn't close to the house. And there was the hen house on the way by, so I had to be careful about the rooster because he hated my guts. And I eventually hated him enough. My father gave me a stick and I ended up killing him. And, he used to pick, of course in those days I wore short skirt pants. And he would pick, and every time I got to the barn, blood was running off my legs. And my father got sick of seeing that, so he happened to be a prize rooster. And I killed him because my father gave me a stick and he said, defend yourself. So I did. I whacked him so hard across the head, I killed him. So we had him for dinner. Go ahead and laugh. It's the truth. Let's face it. When they say cockfights, what are you talking about? You're talking about a rooster that knows how to attack. Oh, yeah. And he hated my guts. And obviously the feeling came mutual. But I used to sing all the way down to the barn and all the way back with my prize, whatever the prize happened to be. But the bottom line that I'm trying to give you is, it would chase away the fear for the moment. It did not do any more than for a moment. It satisfied the pressure, but it was also a way of life in that time slot that I was brought up with. There was no freedom from human regulations. It was just one rule after another rule after another rule after another law. Am I all alone here?
No.
How many of you relate?
Amen.
Thank you. See, I am purposing to give you insight before I give you the promise of the Lord. Because if I give you the promise of the Lord without insight about how and where I lived, you are not going to be changed. And my prayer is that you become transformed. The words from St. Paul in Colossians chapter 1. He says, I proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. That's my prayer. That you will be brought before God by me, perfect in Christ, perfect in the anointing. That's verse 28. 29 says, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. It is not something that was created in him. It's something that was working in him by the Holy Spirit. My press is to make sure you get to the finish line and you're not full of fear and shame and regret, but to live a life where you have become free. Now I'm going to take you to chapter 2, starting at verse 6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Meaning, don't do this on your own. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. You see, if you keep looking at your problem and how you lived, you're going to be focused on where you were and how much garbage is still in you. But if you are overflowing with thankfulness, everything that happens around you is going to be dramatically changed. and your emotions will be changed. Verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. Boy, is God looking at you now. Jesus is so sad, he's crying right now because you just pulled a stupid move. When the rooster was dead, all of my emotions fell because I wanted to knock him out. I didn't want to kill him. So I ran all the way to the barn and said, "Dad, you better come." And Dad came. And of all expectations, I thought I was going to get a whooping with the same stick, because I killed a fancy rooster that came from my great uncle. Instead, my dad picked me up. He says, "I don't see any blood coming out of you." And he held me close and said, "We'll have him for lunch." That's what Daddy in the realm of the spirit is saying to you today. Stop putting legalism on yourself. Because instead of killing the adversary that would like you to be dead, he'd like you to take that stick and put the enemy out of business with all his rules and regulations. Deceptive human principles based on traditions. Verse 9. For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ. It doesn't say you will be given. When you're perfected by your own emotions and stretching yourself and whipping yourself and doing all the self-mutilation that I was even taught at seasons in my life. It was supposed to be godly. It wasn't godly, it was religious. Verse 10 again. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. That includes over your cotton-picking brain that constantly accuses you. I should have heard 6 or 7 amens, not just one. Hear me. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature. Who did the circumcision? He did. Not you, cutting yourself up. Not with a circumcision by the hand of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, done by the anointing that cuts away the flesh and the way that it has ruled and overruled and tried to make you into something that you're not. Having been buried with him in baptism. Woohoo! Some of you are about to enter that realm. And raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. So when you enter that baptismal water, it's symbolic of Jesus coming out of the grave. When you go in under your own choice to go into the water, it's not somebody sprinkling you. It's you going into that water by choice of your free will with an adult mind, or at least a young mind with a development of, yes, I'm choosing to die with him so that I can rise with him. Verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. Who did make you alive? God did. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Oh,
Those are from yesterday and the day before. No, the ones for tomorrow and the ones after tomorrow. He forgave all your sins, having canceled the written code. Oh, wait a minute. How could he do that? He canceled the written code. He canceled the Ten Commandments. And he said, now you are going to obey me as your Lord. And as I speak to you by my Spirit within your very heart, obey.
I just noticed I'm preaching.
Amen.
Are you hearing? This will change how you act and react. This will be a new freedom that he didn't bind you up with new regulations and thought patterns of all the legal garbage that brought you into deception. And that's where I lived. It took me weeks to recover the dead rooster. He tasted great, but the accusing voices. Do you think they went to sleep with the stupid dead rooster? No way. You hit him too hard. Your dad told you he's happy, but he's not really happy. But then the vision of his hug would cancel it out. The vision of the hug of Jesus Christ as you being his great expectation should cancel all these ideas that you've had in your mind about yourself. And his blood should wash away every trace of sin from your patterns of thinking. Verse 14 again. Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us. Are you hearing? And that stood opposed to us. He took it away by nailing it to the cross. Whoa! And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross.
Bob, I'm going to pick on you. Because I saw you trying to carry your own cross today. And the Lord said to you, he already carried it. This word confirms that you don't need to carry this cross anymore. It's done. And I'm not picking on him alone. Some of you have been trying to carry your guilt as a comfortable place to live with yourself. It's time to get rid of it. Self-crucifixion is not the idea of holiness. Did you notice it's the Holy Spirit that does the circumcision? The cutting away of the flesh? It's not you. The more you try to operate on your own, God's going to watch from a distance and say, are you tired yet? Are you tired yet? Are you ready to give in to let me clean you up? Are you ready to let it all go?
Verse 16. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regards to religious festivals and new moon celebrations, or a Sabbath day. Notice again the freedom to obey. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. It's found in the anointing. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you from the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen. And his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost the connection with the head, from whom the whole body supports and is held together by a ligament and sinews. The head is Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. He's waiting for you to submit. Last verse that I'm going to give you. chapter 1, verse 15. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Try it on for size. Say, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. All of him is alive in me. And there's no debate about it. God is within. By his Spirit. And I want him to rule. As Lord and King. Over me. Not rules and regulations.
But
freedom in Christ.
Hallelujah.